Today, are the markets fundamentally broken? Hello again, I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics, working the latest posts covering finance and property news with a distinctively Australian flavour. There was an interesting piece from macro analyst Rothko Research, highlighting that whilst traditional ratios such as forward price earnings or price to sales ratios are starting to diverge sharply from the historical averages, they suggest that we are in what's called a buy the rumour, sell the news type of environment, with another $3 trillion of liquidity expected to reach the market this year. They said in the past 9 months, the constant liquidity injections from central banks have led to a significant rebound in global equities after consolidating by nearly 35% during the February-March pandemic crisis. While US equities constantly reached new highs, investors remain sceptical about the sustainability of the current momentum in markets and are confident that valuations are currently, quote, stretched and expect a significant correction in the short term. Even though they say we agree that traditional ratios such as forward price earnings or price to sales are starting to diverge sharply from the historical averages, we strongly believe that the market is currently chasing liquidity rather than looking for forward earnings, and that 2021 could end up being a new bullish year with another $3 trillion expected to reach the markets. And then they reviewed the liquidity and equity market projections for the coming year by the major sell-side institutions. For example, Goldman Sachs sees an S&P 500 at 4,300 by December 2021. And in the company's final 2020 report, the macro team summarized the key themes that could continue into 2021 in a series of charts. As expected, a popular one shows the surge in the G10 central bank's balance sheet assets in the past 15 years and shows that G10 central bank assets rose by $25 trillion, or slightly over 50% of GDP. Goldman admits that the unprecedented accommodative financial conditions amid the massive rise in liquidity coming from major central banks was in the main the factor behind the rapid recovery in stocks in the second half of 2020. With another $2 to $3 trillion of liquidity expected to reach markets in 2021 and the virus situation to improve sharply, driven by warmer weather in the Northern Hemisphere, in addition to a successful global vaccine campaign, the macro team forecasts the S&P 500 to reach 4,300 by the end of 2021, which is a 16% increase from current levels. And Bank of America says that the federal balance sheet could reach 40% of US GDP. In order to limit the economic and financial downside caused by the pandemic and the lockdown policies adopted by major governments, the Bank of America estimated that the world generated $22 trillion of stimulus. That's a combination of fiscal and monetary stimulus, which represents nearly a quarter of global GDP. Central banks have spent over $1 trillion in monthly quantitative easing purchases, leading to a crush in volatility and yields and to a surge in equities, with the federal balance sheet nearly doubling relative to the size of the US economy from 20 to 40%. This chart shows the dynamics of the Fed's balance sheet total assets relative to the size of its economy since the Fed's creation in December 1913. As expected, the asset waves to fix economic and liquidity issues have been more and more important in the past century, and that the Bank of America team also attributes a significant amount of importance to the QE purchases when it gives market projections, especially for risky assets such as equities. And Morgan Stanley thinks another $3.4 trillion are expected to reach markets in 2021, saying that after the $8.5 trillion that's US dollars, increase in liquidity in 2020 by the G4 central banks, including the Fed, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, and the Bank of England, Morgan Stanley expects another $3.4 trillion to reach markets in the coming 12 months, which could lead to new record highs despite the overcooked status of US equities. The expected average monthly QE pace in 2021 as a percentage of annual nominal GDP shows the ECB and the Reserve Bank of New Zealand are the winners in monthly pace, averaging around 0.9% of GDP, followed by the Bank of England at 0.7% and RisBank, the Fed and the RBA at around 0.6%. Morgan Stanley's research team therefore expects another 10% increase in US equities, which would levitate the S&P 500 up to 4,070 by the end of 2021. And JP Morgan says the Fed could add up to $7 trillion in liquidity in case of an L-shaped recovery. In the first 3 months following the February-March pandemic, assets from the Fed nearly doubled from $3.8 trillion to $7 trillion and then remained steady for the rest of the year. JP Morgan's research estimates four different forecasts for where the Fed's assets will be by the end of 2021. And interestingly, JP Morgan expects the assets to nearly double to $14 trillion in the case where the US experiences an L-shaped recovery. Even though they say we think this forecast is very unlikely, the JP Morgan research team assigns a low probability to less than 10%, with the base case being probably between a V-shaped and a U-shaped recovery, leading to another $1 to $2 trillion of additional liquidity in 2021. The team sees the S&P 500 reaching 4,000 early this year, with a base 500 target of 4,400 amid the combination of constant liquidity injections and positive vaccine news. So Rothko concludes that despite valuations looking stretched, settlement indicators trading at extreme levels and traditional ratios like price earnings and price to sales starting to diverge significantly from historical levels, they still think that the liquidity injection from major central banks could be enough to generate new highs in markets, and especially for mega cap growth stocks. And a chart of the evolution of the major five central banks, including the Fed, the ECB, the Bank of Japan, the Bank of England, and the Bank of China, since 2002, shows that after the $8 trillion surge we saw in 2020, we expect the top five central banks to add another $3 trillion of liquidity this year, which would raise the total liquidity to a breathtaking $31 trillion. And we previously saw that the liquidity force has generated a sharp rally in some sectors, such as tech, for example. The FANG Plus index is up 60% from its February peak. This shows the significant co-movement between major central banks' assets and the tech sector in the past cycle. More liquidity simply means higher valuations. Therefore, they said, we still think that US equities have another year ahead of them, and the S&P 500 is likely to break through its psychological resistance level of 4,000 within the next 3 to 6 months, with a peak probably priced in early 2022. On the other hand, John Rubino of dollarcollapse.com holds an opposing view. Commentary on America's overvalued stock market, he says, can be found pretty much everywhere these days. These arguments are compelling and are becoming more so as stocks keep rising. The latest clue that we're in yet another bubble is margin debt, which is money that investors borrow against their existing stocks to buy even more. A spike in its use means two things. First, investors have had some success in recent times and are now convinced of their own genius. And second, they're growing impatient and, being infallible, are comfortably using leverage to make a fast killing. Overconfidence and impatience are a bad combination in most situations, but they're frequently deadly in equities. Put another way, when margin debt peaks, so frequently does the market. Another sign of the same is excessive use of leveraged EFTs. As with margin debt, the soaring popularity of these volatile trading vehicles reveals an investment community swinging for the fences. Who exactly are these cocky, impatient people betting the farm on their own awesome judgment? Mostly, they're retail investors, which explains a lot. The government has responded to the COVID pandemic by sending people free money while using interest rates and other fiscal and monetary tools to elevate financial asset prices. So the young traders who deposited their COVID checks in free stock trading apps like Robinhood have only ever experienced a raging bull market in hot stocks and can't yet envision anything else. And the result? Huge spikes in stocks. The professionals view as overvalued and therefore good short sale candidates. Amateur traders are swamping the shorts, pushing stocks like Tesla, whose shorts lost $40 billion in 2020, to levels guarantee an epic plunge the minute new stimulus money is withheld or even delayed. The first half of this year, meanwhile, is an ideal candidate for a stimulus delay. The just completed bill was both paltry, below $1 trillion, which is chump change in today's hyperinflationary world, and hard to cobble together. The next one will be even harder, since legislators will want to give the latest stimulus time to work. The government will require some kind of crisis before acting again, and stocks, now fragile of a long list of fragile sectors, are likely to provide that crisis. So he says, cue the crash of 2021. So in a way, you can pay your money and take your choice. But I do think there are more negative indicators than positive indicators. And it's interesting to me that the large investment banks, of course, all talking the market up, have no vested interest at all, do they? Well, perhaps they do. This is one to watch, and I remain cautious. I'm Martin North from Digital Finance Analytics. Many thanks for watching, and I'll see you again next time.